My name is Peter Pulsman. I'm from Hungary. Do you know that we have got one of the longest words in the whole world? We always brag about that word.
What is it? I'm dying to hear.
The word is megszentségtelaníthatatlanségeskedéseitekkel.
What does it mean?
Well, personally, I'm not too convinced that the whole thing makes sense, but it's one word, it's 42 letters, and the root word is szent, only 5 letters, and there's one prefix and about 16 suffixes on it. This is what makes Hungarian so difficult for foreigners. But picit is not too difficult, is it?
All right. We'll explore the legacy of the Pirates of the Carolinas in just a bit today on Travel with Rick Steves. Right now, we're enjoying a guided ramble through the sights, cultures, and flavors of the far south of Italy, including nearby Sicily, with Tommaso Ponti and Alfio Di Moro, plus your calls for our guides at 877-333-7425. Alfio, we've talking about the beautiful, almost biblical images of the town of Matera in Basilicata in the very far south of Italy, and the dramatic architecture and history comes with some unique cuisine. What's your insight on the cuisine of this part of Italy?
Matera is in Basilicata region, and we just said a few minutes before that Basilicata has a really short coastline, so it has always been isolated. That means not a lot of fish in their diet, but lots of meat, okay? Mm. Back in the ancient times, the problem when you slaughter an animal is to preserve the meat. Is that right?
Yeah.
You know, back in the poor times especially, an animal was so important for the family that once it was slaughtered, he had to last for as long as possible. So the people of that area, they ended up inventing what is today the salami.
Ah.
Okay, so they diced the meat, they dried out, they put some spices that have antibacterial activity, they put inside what was an intestine, and they...
So you spice up the meat, shove it in an intestine, and it will help it keep longer.
And then you dry...
And you dry it.
And then that will keep the meat for months.
Now, would this be like game? Is there still...
No. You do that with pork, essentially.
Pork.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, and the region back in Roman times was called Lucania. And the first name for sausage is Lucanica, actually, because it comes really from there.
And the spiciness goes back to the poverty times when they need to keep their meat forever, and it's spicy today. What about horse meat? Are people eating horse meat down there?
They eat horse meat in the south.
More than the north.
In some region of the north as well.
It's very popular, especially in the city of Catania. When you pass through the city of Catania, you see beautiful barbecues outside, and they're roasting horse meat. So you can stop there, you can have a plate, and they put the horse meat in your plate with beautiful
bread. In Catania, that's
yes, in Catania,
and
yes.
Do you enjoy horse meat?
I don't really like it.
What about the ear-shaped pasta?
Orecchiette.
Is that typical of the south or all over?
That is typical of Puglia region.
Puglia?
Yeah, yeah. It is actually fun to make orecchiette. It's very easy. The only thing that you have to do is prepare the dough, and then with a little cylindrical shape, just make all of this round thing. And then you, with your thumb,
press it.
And you obtain the orecchiette pasta.
So the children probably enjoy helping mom with this. All right.
It takes really few minutes to do that.
Orecchiette and broccoli is the typical recipes that we have in this area. So they get the food simply by, you know, the land.
What about garbanzo beans, tagliatelle, fava beans, chicory?
Fava beans was a very poor kind of food in the past. Chickpeas, for example, is another kind of food which is very popular in the south. We eat a delicious soup of fava beans and chickpeas. Our mamas prepare every single day this delicious soup. So we always tell to our mama, voglio una zuppa di ceci.
Often they were mixed together with pasta. If you look at the proteins of fava beans or other legumes, with the proteins of pasta, they are the same quality of the proteins of the meat. So it was called the meat of the poor. Okay.
So meat of the poor would have been the
pasta with fagioli, with fava, pasta con le fave.
That's the food of the poor?
Yes.
All right.
As long as you mix with the pasta.
Yeah, basically white beans with the pasta.
With the pasta, yes.
Very nice. I'm Rick Steves. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking southern Italy with Alfio Di Moro and Tommaso Ponte. Our phone number, 877-333-7425. You can email us at radio@ricksteves.com. Darlene's on the phone from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Darlene, thanks for your call. That's for Alfio or Tommaso?
Well, I just wanted to share, we had the opportunity in June of 2009 to spend a month in southern Italy, and we did include 10 days for Puglia, and we loved the whole trip. But I feel as if there are not very many American tourists heading to southern Italy. And Puglia in particular was just a fabulous 10-day vacation for ourselves with our young daughter.
Now, that's a rustic countryside, and I would imagine a little bit of a language barrier compared to Rome or Florence. How did you function with the language challenges?
I speak a little Italian, and I will tell you that we did go the entire 10 days rarely speaking any English. My husband speaks no Italian, and he got by fine, just as long as you carry your dictionary or your phrase book with you, and folks are more than willing to help out whenever they can. And sign language works great. So we really didn't have a problem with the language, and it made it nice. I mean, it felt like we were really in Italy because everyone was speaking Italian all the time.
And it's almost like Italians have had to deal with this in the past, people coming into their land that don't speak their language, and they're clever at communicating. You can manage, can't you?
Absolutely. It was not difficult. The other point, I think, isn't made often enough, particularly with Americans, are the beautiful, beautiful beaches in Puglia in particular. The most beautiful beaches I've seen in all of Italy. I've not been to Sicily, so I can't speak to that. But to travel with a young child, Layla is six, and to be able to sightsee in the morning, have lunch, and then spend the afternoon a couple hours on a beautiful beach, whether it's near the hotel or apartment we were staying in, or somewhere along the travels for the day to take a 1 or 2 hour break, was really a wonderful way to travel in the summertime.
Yes, that's true. I agree with you, because in Puglia we have one of the most beautiful sandy beach of all Italy. I mean, when you talk about sand beach, you talk about, Sardinia. But in Puglia we have a very similar, even better beaches. So, for example, if you go south of Puglia, in the province of Lecce, we have some area in the Salento Peninsula, which are really untouched, off of the beaten path, absolutely. In the province of Taranto, also, we have beautiful beaches, but also in Vieste.
You know, when I think of beautiful beaches in the north, I'm thinking of a very densely populated part of Italy, and it's a traffic jam of Fiats and teenagers and discos. And frankly, I want to stay away. But is it different in the south?
The best thing you can do in the south, go to the nature reserve. We have several all around the south of Italy. I can mention several of them in Sicily. Vendicari nearby Syracuse, Lo Zingaro nearby Palermo. Often you are just by yourself, and it is such a fantastic experience. And you are in the clear water and seems to be in a tropical island.
Wow, it sounds much better than the Riviera up north. Tommaso?
Absolutely, I agree with that, because we have a long extension, miles and miles of white beaches and desert. I mean, you go there, you don't find people. You find just a few people in and there, but really it's not a very crowded the area. You can go in August, July and August, where elsewhere in Italy is packed, but not in the southern part. And the quality of the water, I mean, we have every year inspection by, the authorities, and they said that this water, this ocean, is one of the cleanest we have in the Mediterranean.
And we're talking Puglia mostly here.
Puglia, Calabria and Sicilia, yes.
Okay, all across southern Italy. Darlene, there's some good ideas for you, and thanks for your feedback.
Thanks so much.
All right. Actually, Ricky, if I say something about what Darlene said, it is very interesting that she was able to communicate anyway, even if she didn't manage the Italian language perfectly, but she knew a little, and also she used a lot of hand gesture.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we people from the South, we are famous for communicate without saying a word, and we always do hand gesture.
You're moving your hands as you speak right now.
I'll be able to talk with Tommaso for 5 minutes, talk, quote unquote, without saying a word, and we will understand each other so perfectly.
I'm Rick Steves. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're traveling through the south of Italy with Alfio Di Moro and Tommaso Ponte. Paula's on the line in Seattle, Washington. Paula, thanks for your call.
I just wanted to say be sure to go to Sicily. It's a wonderful place to travel. We went there in the middle of winter with no reservations, and we had a wonderful time. The Sicilians took very good care of us.
thank you. I've had the same experience. I think a lot of people have these, you know, old-fashioned movie images of Sicily, and you think you're going to have a lot of deadbolts on the door and you're going to have to run for cover. And you go there and you find the friendliest people in a lot of ways you'll meet anywhere in Europe.
That's right. So travel to Sicily.
Now, Paula, have you been to other parts of southern Italy, not Sicily, but elsewhere in southern Italy, and what was your experience?
We were at the same time of year. We were also in Matera and in Reggio Calabria. And we got sent to Reggio Calabria by a man from Volterra to see the race warriors, and it was worth the trip.
Bronzi di Riace.
And what is that, Alfio?
Those are two beautiful examples of classic Greek bronze statues that were found in 1972 nearby the town of Riace in the province of Reggio Calabria. And they built a museum around them in Reggio Calabria, the Museum of Greater Greece, of Magna Graecia.
So it's interesting to me that they found these in a humble part of Italy and they were not taken to Rome to put in the big museum, but they stayed in that town.
They stayed in the town to try to improve tourism there. And actually makes sense because Calabria, Puglia, Sicily, they were part of the greater Greece, so
now
they stayed there.
And you mentioned this word Magna Graecia. This is an important concept for travelers to know that 500 years before Christ, southern Italy was called Magna Graecia.
Magna Graecia, yes.
Which is the greater Greece. I mean, in that period of time, this area of Italy was at least much important than Greece itself. In fact, we have many colonies of Magna Graecia, Metaponto, the Sybarite, and many other places are located, many other archaeological places are located in this
and
area.
And it's interesting for me that away from the conservative power center of Greece, like Athens, you'll have a little more liberty to make some more innovative architecture. And I think when you look at the Greek architecture in Taormina and in Agrigento and in Segesta, you find some of the best ancient Greek temples that you'll find anywhere in the ancient Greek world.
Yes, not only best architecture, but also very well preserved. We can say that these temples are still like the Greek that left this temple 10 years ago, 20 years ago, because, you know, the state of preservation is excellent. I mean, what can I say? Not only archaeology, but also architecture. Don't forget that in Calabria, we have great Byzantine churches, Bivongi, all this area was Byzantine.
And Baroque churches,
and
too.
Baroque churches in Sicily. So, I mean, a great mix. In Puglia, a great mixture of, you know, archaeology and architecture, which make of this area one of the most beautiful, absolutely, of the Mediterranean.
Paula, in Seattle, you're getting us all excited about a trip back to southern Italy. Thanks for your call.
Bye.
Bye now.
Ciao.
Okay, let's travel on to Sicily now, because both you guys are from Sicily. We're going to cross the straits from southern Italy out to the island, Sicily. And when you think of Sicily, it's sort of a many-layered history. It's a fascinating, rich history. You get a whiff of Arabia, and you get a lot of Norman conquest and so on. And, of course, you've got the Italian flavor. Tell me how that affects the culture today, this many invasions that you've had. Tommaso.
This is very positive for us because we have many, many monuments which are dating back to the different historical period. We have a Greek monument, Roman monuments, I mean, Arab architecture, Norman, Spanish, and so on. I mean,
that makes a rich culture. And what comes with a rich culture, Alfio, is a lot of complexity. And I find a lot of people that find Italy a little bit too challenging, and I think don't go farther south because it gets more challenging. People who love the sort of unpredictability and liveliness of Italy, I tell them to go farther south. And Sicily is really Italy in the extreme in that regard.
It is. You know, what is it? If you go back to the Roman times and you pay attention about a Roman town, you see a very, very regular grid of
A grid plan, a very logical floor plan.
And yes, and you know, this is very Roman, very logical. But then after the Romans, we had the Byzantine, but also the Arabs, okay? And this is where they brought that different way of thinking.
The streets plan of an Arabic town is like a spilled plate of spaghetti. It's
exactly.
Labyrinthine, yeah.
Exactly. If you pay attention about the layout of an Arab town, it's completely different from a Greek or a Roman town. And that puts also in what is today Sicily, plus with a lot of years of Spanish domination, everything is now blended in a mix and is a wonderful example of organized chaos. This is how we call it. You know, we are so good at that we are able to manage chaos, organize it, and live with it.
So you celebrate chaos in Sicily.
We do. We don't even know, but we do.
Because if you go to another, let's say you go to Denmark, you might think, boring. Everything's organized. Everything's efficient. Everything's clean.
And you know, we think that probably that is boring for us. We get bored for that kind of very well organized things. So we deal very well with the chaos. Even the traffic jam, this is a great way, you know, to get out from the traffic jam. We don't follow the traffic lights. When it's red, we pass. When it's green, we stop.
I'm Rick Steves. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking travel in southern Italy and Sicily, and we're talking creative lifestyles, I guess you could say. I think that in Italy, sort of a national pastime is trying to avoid paying your taxes.
Yes, we have a high, very high tax evasion. Unfortunately, this is one of the main problems we have all over Italy, but in the southern part, it's much more evident, this problem. Unfortunately, the taxation system in Italy is very bad. You can imagine that if you earn more than, 95,000 euros, you pay the 63% of taxes on
so
that.
So if you make $140,000 a year, you pay 63%
taxes. Percentage for the government. It's progressive.
And the less people pay taxes, the more they raise the percentage.
So if half of the people are avoiding their taxes, everybody else is taxed double, and it becomes part of the culture that you pay less taxes and everybody has higher tax rates.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it is very true. What you said. There is a kind of a regional sport or national sport in Italy trying not to obey the law. And that is a truly paradox. And this comes from the Roman heritage, the highest number of laws of any country in the world. But we have a say in Italian that is fatta la legge, trovato l'inganno. Okay, we have a new law, we have a new way to work around the system.
So there's a new law, there's a new way around it.
Is more popular than soccer is.
That's the national sport.
That's the national sport.
I even sat with a friend, I was getting in his car, and he had, of course, the car will make a noise at you if you don't put on your seatbelt. So they have a very clever little high-tech gadget, a plug. You put this plug in your seatbelt, and you don't have to wear it.
Yes, that's true.
This is
I use this system.
Or as the Neapolitans ended up doing, they were selling white T-shirt with a diagonal stripe that was giving the impression that you were wearing your seatbelt. So from the distance, the police in a roadblock couldn't recognize.
So the police sees the seatbelt going across your chest.
And they have one for the driver, one for the passenger, going opposite way, of course. And the police from far away will say, okay, they're fine. So
Italian ingenuity. Say that one more time, a new law, a new way to get around it.
And fatta la legge, trovato l'inganno.
Ooh. I'm Rick Steves. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We've been exploring southern Italy and Sicily with Alfio Di Mauro and Tommaso Ponte. Tommaso, Alfio, mille grazie.
Amunini.
Andiamo a visitare la stupenda isola di Sicilia.
Wow. Andiamo, let's go.
And the giornali è un scritto. Il Lastromonti fu circondato tutto. Qualcuno chi non seppi stare zitto.
From sunny Mediterranean shores to pirates on the Carolina coast. Up next, Terence Zepke sets us straight on the hard-living privateers and buccaneers who plied the waters of the Spanish Main and colonial America and the real stories behind their legacy. That's next on Travel with Rick Steves.